Welcome to VentureF, where the future is female. Join us as we delve into conversations with founders, funders, and financial experts, discovering solutions for creating greater opportunity, gender equity, and wealth for women. Hi, everyone. I'm Laura Nix Gerson, host of the VentureF podcast. I've been producing women's content and events, building community, and advising startups for more than 20 years. Throughout my career, I've had the great fortune to meet leading experts and innovators when it comes to launching and building a business, raising capital, growing your wealth, and investing in women. Many of these women are founders who have built companies specifically to help other women grow their wealth. And now I want to introduce these women to you. They are the inspiration behind this podcast. As I reached my 50s, I realized I still have a lot to learn when it comes to growing my wealth. I meet women every day who feel the same way. And the truth is, it's never too late to learn. But getting started and knowing what to do next can feel daunting. In this first season of VentureF, we are focusing on building a wealth mindset. We're even building a library of knowledge at VentureF.com to help us be masters of our financial destiny. Join me in my journey to build a wealth mindset and learn about investing in women. Hey friends, if you're looking for a financial planner or advisor and don't know who to hire, we have the solution for you. My friend Pam Kruger of WealthRamp has vetted over 200 fee-only advisors and will personally match you to the right advisor for your specific needs. And as part of the VentureF community, Pam is offering you a free initial consultation with your advisor of choice. Just go to wealthramp.com/VentureF. And answer a few simple questions to get matched. VentureF is not a financial advisor and does not provide advisory services. We leave that to the experts at WealthRamp. Julie Castro-Abrams is the founder and CEO of How Women Lead and the managing partner of How Women Invest, helping women get a seat at the table with collective action, including corporate board appointments and venture. She's a leader in the country's movement to build and fund startups. As the general partner of two venture funds focused exclusively on funding women, she's working to change the fact that women receive less than 2% of venture funding. Julie's a sought-after speaker in entrepreneurship, and How Women Lead has won many awards, including the Jobs Genius Award, the Morgan Stanley Innovation Award, Cisco Innovation and Technology, and Women Who Could Be President League of Women Voters.
So Julie, How Women Lead is redefining women's leadership in the 21st century with your network of 14,000 senior executives who are claiming their seats in the C-suites and corporate boardrooms and as general partners in capital firms. I love this statement about How Women Lead. I really want to hear about how you're accomplishing this and, you know, tell me exactly what is How Women Lead? We all want to know.
Honestly, Laura, How Women Lead is us, you and me. Like we are of the first generation of women with this kind of operational expertise, power, influence, and some wealth. But we all grew up in these environments that were tough, like broken ladders and, you know, not equal pay for equal work, all that kind of stuff. And so it just happened that if you live long enough, your friends start running the world. And I brought a bunch of my friends together for a lunch. And people were like, oh my God, you have the best network. And they were like, someone put together a LinkedIn group and they're like, do this again. And then everyone brought five friends. And that's how we actually today have gotten to 20,000 women are part of our network right now.
Wow. It's crazy.
And I'm talking about people who actively engage in stuff that we're doing. We've got about 200,000 people following us. And what that just tells me, and everything I've seen, is this hunger. And if you look at the research, you know that women starting in your early 40s, you actually have a developmental life stage need to have an impact and to do it with other women, which is kind of interesting. So honestly, I think it was accidental. Now I understand the science of why, but really, and we all come together and we're like, all right, there's not enough of us on corporate boards. Let's change it. Let's pass a law. Let's educate women. Let's get, you know, all of us help each other. And we are doing that in a couple different areas. And so I have to tell you, it is like the best job in the world.
But wait, when did you start How Women Lead? This is
like 10 years ago.
Yeah. And you've done lobbying. You guys have changed laws. Like you have really made significant impact.
Yeah. We're still doing a little bit of that. I just had a call about it this morning.
That's so great. And within How Women Lead, do you have a program that helps women with their board careers? Is there an educational piece to what you guys do? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
We do. Well, you just mentioned two things, policy and education. And I'll tell you, there's actually, I'm such a nerd, there's science of how you make change. How do you move a market or move some of these critical issues, right? If you work on all of the different levers, if you work on policy and systems change, if you do research and education, and then you actually get into action, you actually can change a market more quickly. So we worked on California's legislation on public company board diversity. I advised the governor's office. So it's quite sticky to work on this systems change. We, every year we'll have about, well, I think in total about 3,000 women participated in some kind of board programming with us last year. So significant number of women who either come to us and say, I want to explore what this might look like. They might even, you know, go all the way, you know, come through a program with us, get their board bio ready, get their map of who they want to talk to and how they're going to keep reinforcing the message. And then we place women on boards. So we do a little bit of all of it. We, you know, we'll, we have, it's kind of fun. We'll talk about hot topics like AI and boardroom. You know, different kinds of things that are sort of prescient and immediate, and also stuff that's more long-term, you know, good information we all need to know.
Well, I have to tell you, I identify with so much of what you just said, going back to your comment about as we get to a certain age, we want to do things that have impact and meaning. But also in so many of the conversations I've been having with my friends who are these superstars who have had incredible careers, they say to me, I don't know where to get started with getting onto a board. And I have to tell you how often How Women Lead has been coming up in conversations lately, because I've been saying, I have this great organization, you should go join. They do tremendous work. And, you know, you guys are shattering glass ceilings. The more women that we get in decision-making roles, the better it is for everybody. I mean, we're changing economies. We're changing everything by, and you know, the statistics, like, you know, companies are show greater financial returns. There, you know, there's greater success in certain aspects of the businesses. A diverse board really impacts, you know, positive change and also the bottom line.
Well, and this is the thing, I think a lot of people, they're dubious when they hear that, but this is what you need to think about. It's about groupthink versus having a group of experts all coming prepared, doing their due diligence, making sure that they show up ready to with great questions and to ask, you know, to really be part of the solution, part of driving the company's future. We saw all kinds of crises in corporations, think Enron, it literally like massive explosion, right? Of that company. And it happened all the time. And it was because of groupthink. At one point, the CEOs of Chevron, Stanford, and Cisco were all on each other's board. Like, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
There's no way, you know, you're going to be able to really challenge each other and provide good governance. And so what we've done is, sure, it's more equitable, and that's amazing. Women get more consistently in the C-suite, more equal pay, et cetera, when you have more women on the board. But for everybody, companies perform 26% better. And there's interest, and I'm talking about public companies where we can, it's where we can really track the data. Product recalls happen 3 times faster, 28 days faster. And that's because, isn't that interesting? Product recalls. And it's because instead of groupthink, where people kind of sit back and go, well, Laura is the one we always rely on for this thing. You may be distracted that day or not, whatever. And I'd be like, no, this is a crisis. I know we have to move on this, right? So it really upgames everybody. Everybody's performance is better. And we move the needle on public boards from 10% to 33%. I mean, that's huge.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. When you have one woman on a board, it's hard to get your voice heard. And I have a lot of friends that were the first women on public company boards, and they basically left before their terms were fully up. You know, they kind of opted out to leave early. in part because they felt like it was the same thing that happened in their corporate career, where the decisions were made on the golf course and they weren't even there. And it just felt like hostile, and it just like their voices weren't heard, which we all know how that works. But with three women on a board, or 33% now on public boards, you actually have your voice gets heard. There's science about this. And frankly, all you need is three people who are other. So you get a Black man and a Latino man and a woman, and you're productive. But this is the thing: we can legislate public companies, right? A company now is, open up for people to buy their stock and stuff, but we can't do that for private companies. So that's where the big opportunity is. And frankly, cultures are set in the first 30 people. So think about how a new company is set. The next Uber, use Uber as an example. They've had obviously some very public crises because of how the company was being managed under the original founder. Well, I'm going to attest, if you had venture capitalists that were diverse around the table coaching Travis Kalanick, that company could very well have avoided all that financial crisis and other crises that hurt everybody, because he could have potentially been coached to be a better leader. It's just really important that we think about, like, how are we building the companies of tomorrow, the jobs of tomorrow? And to think that we can keep that there's no amount of, at Salesforce, they have been very public about resetting the wage equity, right, for women of public color. They did it, put tons of money in, made a big public announcement. 2 years later, they're like, oops, it's off again. How interesting. I was on a panel with the chief strategy officer at Salesforce, and he literally said it takes 2 months. 2 months for the inequity to hit, because it is so embedded. Even with a CEO who's put his name on the line and really been very vocal and visible about this. So there's bias that happens, and the only way we're going to disrupt that is from day one. If we start getting VCs and investors who are fueling a diversity of companies and leaders, and who are, the advisors, the cap table, the people who are helping that company start and build are diverse, you actually have a better chance of that company being successful.
I think you just answered my next question was, how did you come to launching How Women Invest? And obviously,
that's a big part of
this. This is part of the problem that you were seeing, right? Yeah.
Well, 65% of private companies don't have a single woman on their board. Think about how dangerous that is and how lopsided. When you think about the fact we're the most educated Americans, we're certainly at any point between 46 and 52% of the workforce. To not have any representation on the majority of startup boards is nutty.
Haven't California laws changed recently, though, that we do have to have a woman on privately held boards? Is it only publicly held boards?
You cannot mandate that on,
on
private boards. Public boards, you have to have up to three, depending on the size of the board. So no, there's a little downward pressure. Like I get calls all the time from people saying, oh, we're going to take this company public. Well, that hasn't happened much this year, but before this year, as companies were going public, they're like, I need to get two women on my board real quick. But that doesn't, that's like 1 to 2 years before someone goes public is when I get that call. So, but this thing that's other really interesting for today, Laura, we have 50% of the wealth. And if you look at the projection.
Women, you're saying, when we say we, yes.
We, you and me, the women. This has never happened before. This is massive. Right. And there's a huge transfer of wealth that's going to happen that we're going to inherit or otherwise in the next couple of years. So by 2030, there's data that says between 62 and 70%.
Yep.
That's game changing.
And it is game changing.
And what it means is if we want, we can put our money where our values are. And I think that's the call to action. I think for a lot of us, we have to be thinking about, I give people a pass. I was nearly comatose in my 30s. I was the CEO of something. I could not look up and figure anything else out. But once I got to my mid 40s and certainly early 50s, it's like I had no excuse but to figure out, like, where were my investments? Somebody said, open up your Schwab portfolio and look at where all, and they're like, I bet you've got things that are absolutely against your values that you're investing in. And they were right. There was like private prisons in there. I couldn't believe it. I literally donated and volunteered to do prison reform work. So I think for all of us, there's a moment where it's like, listen, you don't need to know anything to lift the hood and just look at where your money is being deployed. And then, you know, you can have a conversation with whoever your advisor is, or you could start to just take some steps and move your money into things that are aligned with your values. And this year we had some really great, or in 2023, we had some great new opportunities for all of us. There's the first ever women's CEO ETF. Electronically traded fund. So it's, you know, like a mutual fund. And I think there are 122 women CEOs in what they call mid-cap, like medium-sized, which are still huge companies, that are all, you can invest in just those companies with women CEOs, and it's performing better than the market. So WCEO is one of the ones that I moved some money into. Or if you care about ESG, I moved some money into NIA Capital. It's NIA GX, I think it is, NIA. So you could, and you know, you can put $10,000. You can do something that's right-sized for you. It doesn't have to be a huge shift in your portfolio. But you know, look up and take some small steps, and then maybe you can start investing in venture someday, which is not hard either. You just, pick someone you trust, and it's a 10-year, usually locked up for 10 years. So it has to be money you're not planning on having tomorrow. But
well, and I think that picking someone you trust thing is kind of what trips people up a little bit in the beginning too. But it's been, I think it's really encouraging to see things like what you're doing at How Women Invest, where you've actually created an opportunity to learn about funds that are run by women, right? Founded by and run by women. Most of those firms are investing in solely in women, but many of them are looking, you know, at diverse investing across the board. And like you said, being able to use your dollars to make a statement about what you care about in the world. I don't know if we call that conscious capitalism or, you know, but it's great to be able, when we get to this age, to be able to say, where do I want to put my money and what does it mean to me? Right. Yeah.
We did a little research study to look at the investing behavior of women. Well, I shouldn't call it little. It was significant.
Your report's fantastic. I read through it. It's really interesting.
We're values-based investors. That's the answer. Mm-hmm. We invest when we're conscious, not right. when we're raising little kids and running companies and exhausted necessarily. But when you can pay attention, we'll invest aligned with our values. And so find a venture firm aligned with your values. That's all. That's kind of the learn about it, take a toe dip, put a little bit of money in, and just start to play in the space. What's kind of interesting with our very first fund that we did, our minimum investment was $25,000 and it's spread over 4 years. So it's $6,250 a year, which for most people, most corporate women leaders, certainly in the Bay Area, that wasn't a big decision tree. It was like, okay, I believe in what they're doing. I'm gonna move forward. So 85% of the people said yes and moved forward.
That's fantastic. And I like that you spread it out over 4 years, because I think, you know, a $25,000 commitment for most people, you know, it would stop you, right? Yeah. But to be able to think about parsing it out over 4 years and being able to invest in that fund, what a fantastic way to do that.
Well, I didn't know until I started my venture fund, honestly, which is probably embarrassing, but it's not just cash. You can invest your retirement funds. You can invest your donor advised fund, anything where you're actively investing money right now, except for your 401k, because your company makes all the decisions. Right. But you can move that money into private investing, like a venture fund. So really just
help. Look, you've taught yourself. You're learning as you go too, right? And that's the whole thing about it.
I think we like to make these seem like, oh, all this lingo. Mm-hmm. And it's for these people that are uber wealthy. That is not who's invested in our fund. There's a couple little definitions of types of investors. Most of us are what we call accredited investors. It just means you make $200,000 a year or more, or $300,000 as a household. there's another standard called qualified purchasers. That means you have $5 million or more in money or assets outside of your home. So that's a higher bar. That's, you know, I wouldn't say that that's most people, but, you know, 2/3 of our investors are what we call accredited investors. They don't have massive amounts of money, but they have enough. They're responsible and they, you know, can invest it in something aligned with their values. Why we started this campaign you were referencing with all these venture funds for people to get to know is because 30% of all of our investors who invested with us for the first time, they invested in 2 or 3 other venture funds in 1 year.
Wow.
So they got involved with us and they were like, wait, this is great.
Right.
More of this. I'm going to go, like, the first person who told me they did it was Trisha Montalvo, Tim. She was like, I'm going to go invest with a bunch of Latina run venture firms. That's value aligned for her. I had some other people who were like, I care deeply about climate. Let me go find a climate focused venture firm. So I think what happens is, you know, you just, if you create a safe space for someone to just start, our friends, the women,
you get them on the path.
And then it starts to become, you know, fun and community building. In addition to, you know, you start to see that, like, we returned 25% of the capital for our investors within the first 2 years.
Wow.
So people start to think, oh, well, actually I have a little extra, you know, extra, I can go do something else now. So, by the way,
that's impressive because, you know, like you said earlier, quite often when you invest in venture, your money is going to be tied up for 7 to 10 years. But to have a return within the first 2 or 3 years, that is, that tells you, you ladies did some smart investing.
We did some smart investing.
You did.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see what happens this year and next year. 2023 was a down market in every possible way. We had a couple companies that were going to sell and they held off because the market was down. So they'll be shopping. They've got a bunch of people shopping and asking them, you know, to look under the covers. So we'll see this year. It's kind of fun to ride those waves.
And I noticed you have a second fund. So are you currently raising fund 2?
Our fund 2 is finished its fundraising.
It's done. Okay.
31st. It's a seed fund. The first fund was a later stage called an AB, Series A fund. Kind of more like what you consider, you know, companies ready to grow.
Right.
So we'll raise another growth fund this year because we can't invest anymore. That fund is fully deployed, our AB fund. So we'll be making seed investments and later stage growth fund investments all throughout this year.
That's fantastic. And for people who are interested in learning about future funds that you might be raising or other VC firms that you have highlighted on the website, they can go to howtoinvest.com. We'll also be including the links in the post accompanying this episode so that people can go and find the information on your site. But I also love that you started a pledge this past year to encourage more women to commit to investing in venture, and it's called the New Table. Tell me a little bit about that. I want to hear what motivated you to start that and what the idea behind it is.
Well, so all these women I was talking about that were these first-time investors, they basically said, no one ever invited me to invest before. Like, people who were general counsels and who would help sell multiple companies and had VCs all around them all the time, people discounted them, even though they had $20 million in the bank. And so literally, you know, we said, we're going to set a new table where you're invited. So that's the idea of the new table. And our goal is to get 10,000 women to start investing in venture capital, start a conversation, get other women thinking about it, just and for everybody, because it's such a power play, and because this is how we solve the workplace problems so many of us have experienced for our daughters, right? So let's get 10,000 women investing in venture for the first time. Already we've gotten 1,300 women, and so just since
I just pledged,
yay, fantastic, wonderful. Well, so our estimate, if you think about it, whether it's your first investment or throughout the first year or two, our estimate's about $100,000 on average per person of their investments. And that's $140 million if you add up the numbers. I mean, that's game changing. If we 10,000 women would be $1 billion, that's half of all the money that was spent on women-run companies last year. So
incredible.
We could be market movers in big ways if we all come together and put in our $25,000, do it a couple times, then we're really moving markets.
Julie, what you have built is so tremendously inspirational. You've built community. You've created an environment where women feel safe. You've pushed forward legislation. You're shattering glass ceilings. You're getting more women into the C-suite and into the boardroom. You're encouraging women to invest. You're helping them understand and learn about what it means to invest. I'm so grateful for everything you're doing, and I really appreciate you taking the time to share that with us on VentureApp today. We will definitely be keeping an eye on you and everything you're doing moving forward in 2024. And I'm so thrilled to share your story and share how women lead and how women invest with all of our VentureApp readers and followers and listeners. As we launch on this new venture, celebrating women building a wealth mindset and, you know, really looking towards the future of what we truly believe is female forward. So
thank you so much for having me. Everyone, just start to cross the line, look under the cover. I can't wait to sit at the table with all of you as women sort of step into power, wealth, and influence.
More seats at the table. You said it, Julie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To learn more about how women lead, how women invest, or the new table, go to howwomenlead.com. Sign up for their newsletter or join their community to become more actively involved. Links to their website and their annual report can be found in the episode post on VentureF.com. Thanks for listening to VentureF today. To discover and listen to other podcast episodes and sign up for our weekly newsletter, visit us at VentureF.com or follow us on Instagram at VentureF Podcast. New episodes of VentureF are out every Friday.